Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio, both my compatriots. First off, the person out of the show himself, you know him best as Weasel Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Weasel Hurley here in the place with you. And of course, the local hero himself, firefighter extraordinaire, Sumter County's own, Mr. Chris Rankin. Chris, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just finally done with my 3-day schedule. So
that's right, that's right. And you're looking at a very likely case. We don't know, obviously, because we haven't had the Monday night game as of this point. But you're looking at a weekend where I think both New York teams are going to do well, or have done well, depending on who you're talking about. More on that in a second. But guys, I just wanted to throw in really quick. Whenever I have the opportunity to go to a game in person, I always chat a little bit about what was going on there. And while it isn't exactly Lucas Oil Stadium or the Superdome, I got to give it up for NRG Stadium in Houston. I did go in person to see Pats, Texans. And while the game may not necessarily have been the most, competitive affair, that defense did not disappoint. Got to see Gronk in person jump up and get a touchdown basically right in front of my seat and stuff, so that was cool. And got to see J.J. Watt dominate people with one hand. With one hand! Going from being pissed off about a guy's hand being broke, that you were going to see the game. The purpose for my seeing the game, look, we've been over the man crush. I'm hot for Watt, folks. We've been over this. Weasel's looking at me like, yes. We hear about it every week.
You would have been crushed if you couldn't see him play.
I would have. Crushed isn't enough. I would have been pissed. Like, you know, that kind of, I don't know. Crushed doesn't seem like enough, Weasel. I need sappy music now. No, but watching the Texans defense play, and call me jaded, I went there to go see Brady for the first time in person. Was not really impressed by him. I mean, a lot of the scoring was set up by offensive mistakes by the Texans, and, you know, oh, here's a gift. Well, I'm Tom Brady. Of course I'm going to take it. You know. Anyways, but no, a great experience all the way around, so shouts out to Houston and the Texan fanhood there. Good times all the way around. But in a game that was much closer was this past Thursday night, the Vikings and the Cardinals. And I feel weird right now. I'm covering a Vikings game and not you, Weasel.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
I mean, are you okay with this?
I'm good.
Like, you noticed I removed all the blunt objects from your side of the room so you don't throw things at me.
You are good.
Okay. But we're sure.
Yeah, carry on.
Like, you know, you're not going to be standing over me in your sleep.
We're cool.
Okay. Why are you looking at me like Teddy Bridgewater did what he does, except for, you know, like, not winning the game. It's unfortunate. I'm not going to blame it completely on him. He did have a good game overall, 25 for 36 in the Vikings' very close game, 20-23. When I wrote it up on my Matchup Mania, I have to be honest, I didn't think it would be this close. I give props for the Vikings doing what they did against this Cardinals offense with as many as they're missing on defense. Anthony Barr at linebacker, for one. Our boy Harrison Smith, one of our favorite safeties on this show, both missing for action in this game. And still kept it close, but not quite enough. And the final play, of course, unfortunately, being Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy wasn't ready because he fumbled the ball and basically took any hopes of setting up the game-tying field goal out of his hands. Carson Palmer went 25 for 35. Not that much better than Bridgewater, really. I mean, Weasel, would you say that this is Bridgewater's best passing performance to date in your mind?
I'd say so, yeah. Just take out that last play. Yeah.
Obviously. You know, I was talking to some fans about it. By some fans, in this case, I guess I could shout my dad out. It's my show. I could talk with my dad. But he was saying that, if anything, he would blame Zimmer for calling a pass play there rather than running it.
Most likely Norv Turner would be it.
Right.
So, but yeah.
The offensive coordinator, correct.
It just, are you going to get back to the play or address it?
No, go ahead. Get it now.
Okay. The only thing was is that the Vikings were in field goal range. I would say it would be about, for my guess, it would be like a 40-yard field goal or 45-yard field goal, and that would be to tie the game.
Right.
Bridgewater dropped back on a pass on that third down, and I noticed, I think he pump faked twice, and he just was sitting there, and it's like he was finding someone, but he didn't notice, oh, someone's going to strip the ball away, oh no, type of thing. It's just, it wasn't like this was like first quarter or right before the half, oh, you can maybe miss that 3 points. This was at the end of the game, the last play. And he could have easily thrown it away or anything like that, and then they would have kicked the field goal, and the game would go into overtime, but didn't work out that way. He held the ball too long, so it's partly on Bridgewater.
So despite the fact you're probably thoroughly impressed that he hit 11 different receivers on the night, you were not impressed with his game situational awareness on that particular play.
He was spreading the love all game, just not for that last play.
Fair enough. Chris, what you got?
No, I was just how I was talking about they could have kicked the field goal, but it's not guaranteed. I mean, they're missing extra points this year.
Wow.
So kicking a field goal is not really a guarantee. So,
I mean, there may have been a few times where, you know, where you even heard, you know, our little, what is it, our wall of shame, you know, just every now and again. Hey, but
I sometimes later. Get, I'll just say that. Sometimes I get ticked off at Blair Walsh, you know, because you miss an extra point or something like that. But the thing is the guy did make – he was 2 for 2, and he made a 54-yard field goal. So
it's not on him tonight.
Yeah, not this time.
Okay. So he is the man in this case. This isn't just – this isn't ironic or sarcastic. That being said, considering how close they rode with the Cardinals, I mean, you still have to be kind of confident with Green Bay and the Vikings. Week 17 – here's the question. Minnesota has one job between now and week 17, 15 and 16, obviously. And that's to make sure they've kept pace with the Packers. Because if they win that football game, they have a shot for the playoffs. Right? If those teams go in and they're tied, the winner takes the NFC North. And the other one has to play the fifth in the NFC. Assuming everybody does what they're supposed to do. You know, you can't rule out the Vikings yet. I'll put it that way. Speaking of teams that you can't rule out, look, they were playing the Ravens, but you got to give a little of the Seattle Seahawks. They've been battling very well. Russell Wilson has played these past 3 weeks, and by the way, listing them in order, Steelers, Vikings, Ravens, in impressiveness. They slapped the Ravens around 35-6. No one's surprised that the Seahawks won this football game. I'm not, you're not, nobody is. But Thomas Rawls being knocked out of this game for me is a very interesting question. And again, for those people who want to be all like, but Cal, why aren't you talking about how good Russell Wilson did? Yeah, okay, fine. 292 yards, 5 touchdowns against a, you know, crushed, packed in, not caring that much anymore Ravens team whose starting quarterback was Jimmy Clausen. If you didn't win this game big, I'd have bigger questions for you, and everybody should agree with that approach. I say all that to say this. With Thomas Rawls out, guys, Marshawn Lynch is still missing time. I know that the Seahawks' remaining schedule isn't exactly difficult, but do you see Russell Wilson, you know, doing his part? He does have a... going into this week, he has a game lead. He might have a 2-game lead by the time this show is over. But, I mean, do you feel good about Russell Wilson leading his team to the playoffs and maybe even getting a playoff run?
I would say, considering the way he's been playing, especially these last 4 games, you got the 49ers, Steelers, Vikings, and then this game, Baltimore. He's thrown 16 touchdowns to 0 interceptions in those 4 games, and each game he's passed for over 70% completion rate. So I think he's going to be all right. Thomas Rawls, he was a great substitute for Marshawn Lynch being out. It was like a little mini Marshawn Lynch out there, and the guy, you know, commanded the field and everything. He got the big plays, but if it was midseason where I see Russell Wilson throwing 1 touchdown to 1 INT, he had like a series of games that's just been like that. 2 touchdowns to 1 INT. The past 4 weeks it's been ridiculous. So I think they'll be okay.
So what you're trying to say is that the Seahawks have stopped doing their Paula Abdul impression. 2 step forward, 2 steps back. That's right. That's some opposites attract, Schmack. What you gonna do?
And I
don't judge me, Chris.
With their whole thing with
go ahead, Weasel, I'm sorry.
With their whole thing with Jimmy Graham, they traded away their starting center and a first round pick to get Jimmy Graham. And so whenever he doesn't get the ball enough, I think then you have the offensive coordinator, you could be like, we have to give him the ball more type of thing. So you're kind of possibly changing up like your game plan kind of to get him more involved because he is such a talented player.
So let me bottom line it for you. You're saying that Graham, not that you're wishing an injury on him.
No.
But him not being on the field is kind of a good thing. Addition by subtraction there, huh?
The thing was is that back when the Vikings, they had one Randy Moss, they had a coach Mike Tice, and they tried doing something called a Randy ratio, where I think if you have every like five passers or something, one goes to Randy Moss type of thing. It's like you're trying to change your game plan to suit somebody. The past 4 weeks, I mean, there's the two guys, Tyler, you got Lockett, the rookie, mm-hmm. and then Doug Baldwin. Baldwin's had what, like two touchdowns in the past four games or so?
Yeah.
So he's on fire. And
that's per game, not
that's over. I would say per game,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Because, it was three touchdowns for Baldwin to two for Lockett.
Right.
And so Rawls was a big loss. It stinks because it was fun watching him play. Mm-hmm. The guy was really making a difference out there. But with the way they're clicking on offense, I mean, I think they're just going to keep going.
Well, I'll say this. Their last three games are the Browns, the Rams, and the Cardinals. They're going 2-1 in that stretch. I think we're pretty clear on that.
Yeah.
So based on that alone, I feel like the Seahawks have a pretty good chance. Russell Wilson and company would have to work to screw it up. Not to mention, oh, by the way, there's still that Legion of Boom thing they got there. I don't know. Anyway, speaking of teams trying to maintain their hopes in the playoffs, the Jets hosted the Titans, Chris.
The Jets hold on to a wild card spot with a 30-8 victory over the Tennessee Titans. The Titans' only touchdown came from the Rogue Titan formation. It's not a wild Titan.
Titan.
Well, you got the Wildcat, you got the Wild this, Wild that. Wild Titan, I'd just say it's Rogue Titan because Marcus Mariota was on the sideline, or he was out as lined up as a receiver. And
so if the Eagles do that, is it the plucked feather? What the hell? I mean, because if the Falcons do it, they should call it the Dirty Bird. I'm just saying. But the Rogue Titan.
I just call it the Rogue Titan.
The more I say it, the more I like it. I'll be honest. But
it's better than the Wild Titan.
Yeah, that sounds dumb.
Right. Yeah.
The Rogue Titan. It sounds like the Rogue Titan. That sounds like something in a God of War game. I am the Rogue Titan. Anyways, go ahead, Chris. Yeah.
See, it wasn't their normal Titan formation. It fits, doesn't it?
It was not, no.
Should go trademark that right now.
Hey, who's to say it has?
Hold on, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
All right, so in that formation, Marcus Mariota was open for 41-yard touchdown pass.
Well, I mean, okay. You're not going to mention that the corner was so fooled by the fact he started actually running a route that he fell down.
Yeah, well, I think he was.
I thought it was comical.
I think on that play, I think he was looking at the quarterback
the whole
time.
Yeah, because it was a pitch out. Yeah. I mean, he rolled out with
it. So, he was just backpedaling.
Well, and like Mariota wasn't really running at first. That's what I saw. Well,
that's always part
and
of it,
and then he turned on the Jets. He's like, wait, what? Ah, ka-funk. You know, something like that. I don't know.
Anyway, but that, you know, they weren't the only team that forgot to cover someone, but usually when a quarterback's lined out there, you're like, oh, he's not going to get the ball. But when you have your starting receiver lined up on the end outside, and the only one that notices is defense end Jarrell Casey. If you don't know what I'm talking about Brandon Marshall. The Titans left him wide open. Defense end Jarrell Casey's pointing over at like the linebacker, safety, someone saying, someone needs to cover him. There's no one over there. The linebacker looks like he's lost out there. Like, what are you talking about? And so he said, oh, screw this. He started running after. Before the ball's even snapped, he tried running out to the sideline from the line of scrimmage. But he was just a little too slow, and Marshall caught the ball and scored from 69 yards out.
It's interesting you say that because I feel that poor lineman got screwed having to run all that extra distance.
Fitzpatrick, you know, on that, he finished with 21 for 36 for 263 yards with three touchdowns. Mariota was 21 for 39 for 274, but he had an interception. Delanie Walker was once again leading receiver for the Titans, like he has been almost every game this season.
I believe.
He has 71 yards. Brandon Marshall's finished with 125 yards Decker had 74 and a touchdown. Belial Powell had a 16-yard touchdown catch, which, if they were playing tag, he would have been down at the 12, the 8, the 5, and the 2.
12, 8, 5, 2.
Yeah, there was four Titan players that tried just touching them instead of trying to tackle
them. Wow. Okay, there you go.
The difference in the game, Darrell Revis returned for the Jets. Jets dominated on both sides of the ball. Kyle, you had Todd Bowles as the coach of the year. What does he need to do to get that coach of the year award?
I mean, you know, no, and that's a fair question. I mean, look, I'm going to say it like I said it in the middle of the season. Chris, if I walked up to you and I said, you know what, buddy, we've known each other for decades. I was about to say years, decades, and I can make your life better. I'm just going to punch you in the face real quick. Yeah, I mean, you know, now as a Jets fan, you know that's possible now.
Yeah.
But you didn't before Todd Bowles. That's my point. Okay, and yeah, he made the playoffs after. He took a punch in the face and turned it into a playoff berth. I will scream it from the towers if he pulls this off, man. And look, he may not be all's vote. I get that. I might just be too much in love with the whole punch you in the face to save your life. I may be one of those motivational speech guys. Actually, it's pretty violent when I put it that way. But the point is this. That
just
is
go out there and punch him in the face. All right.
I'll have one of those heads, like really ridiculous little headsets on my ear. Looks like a Bluetooth or whatever. Have like one of those really loud colored shirts. You can do it. Just punch it in the face.
But don't do it on the field. Do it out in the locker room first.
Yeah, if you do it on the field, that's a 15-yarder.
Well, that's going to be a 15-yard penalty if it's on your own player. That's what's more like conduct. Punch in the face.
With the officials we've seen in the NFL, I'm going to say yes. Moving on.
All right, also, but talking about punch in the face, what should the Jets do? What should the Jets do with Geno Smith?
Oh, that's so terrible. Wow.
Because they're talking about they're going to make a priority to re-sign Fitzpatrick in the offseason.
Well,
which isn't a bad idea.
Right.
I mean, he's had a couple bad games, but really, I mean, he's not afraid to tuck the ball and run.
He's a game manager.
Right.
He's a good game manager. I'm not going to call him elite, but he's a good game manager. Certainly better than Geno Smith trying to be a gunslinger. I don't know. I mean, is Geno Smith, does he get a backup job somewhere?
I think he would get a backup job somewhere, but I just...
I don't know where that is.
It just baffles me how after that, the whole thing with him getting his jaw broken... He brings out the, so do you have any regrets? And he does the, I have no regrets. And I'm like, really, dude?
How about...
You just messed up the starting quarterback situation for your team.
How about at least saying, I wish I had paid for that limo?
The plane ticket.
You know, whatever it was. I mean, heck, even Jameis Winston came around and made a joke and made light of his situation by taking a picture of some crab legs on his draft day, okay?
Yeah.
Fess up.
Yeah.
Wow. A comparison I thought I would never make, Jameis Winston and Geno Smith.
I really think Geno Smith's going to go with all the other quarterbacks that came out of West Virginia on that. They're just going to fall off. You're like, what the heck happened to them?
I mean,
last one, like Paul White.
Who? Is that in Miami?
Yeah, he was in. He got picked up by Miami.
That was Pat White.
Or Pat White. That's what it was. Pat White.
See, you know his goddamn name. Yeah,
they tried moving on the wide receiver. That didn't work.
You tried getting a quarterback specially designed for the Wildcat. Anyways, let's not go off on that tangent. Let's bring it back to one that's much, much worse. 49ers, Browns, Weasel.
The Browns at home defeated the 49ers 24-10. Of course, the top story of the day was of Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel. Nicely done. I like it. Nicely done.
Shining. Holy crap.
Nicely done. He was 21 of 31, 270 yards, one touchdown, one INT, sacked twice.
You know, I just thought of this. Y'all have seen the movie Ray, right? About Ray Charles with Jamie Foxx. Yep. And like, there's one part in there. He's like, he tells the producer, "I need a Johnny girl. I need to get that drop whenever we talk." Johnny Manziel, "Oh Johnny." We need to make that a thing. Don't let me screw that up. Moving on, Weasel. I'm sorry.
Alrighty. So The interception did occur with 1:25 remaining in the half when Mansfield threw an ill-advised pass across his body.
Yeah.
So you see, of course, on the sideline after someone does like a bad thing, like an interception, the camera zooms right to him. And Mansfield was a little angry at himself because of that interception, and he was shown banging his head against his Surface tablet.
Okay, considering the fact that we just called for a clip that says, "Oh, Johnny," perhaps begging is not the best verb, but nonetheless, I people have been making so much news of that. I think that's kind of a punchline to how bad this game was. Is that the biggest news story?
Nah, it's,
is Mansfield
no.
and the Surface.
It's but. Something about Mansfield. Anything about Mansfield makes a story. So,
well, no, that's what I'm saying. It's not. It's not. You know, Johnny Mansfield had a bad football game. It's not Johnny Mansfield won the football game. It's the Surface. I don't know. Hey, please continue.
So you got Browns running back Isaiah Crowell, 20 carries for 145 yards and 2 touchdowns. Wide receiver Brian Hartline, 8 for 107. And tight end Gary Barnidge had 5 for 84 and, not surprisingly, a touchdown.
Barnidge with the touchdown.
49ers quarterback Blaine Gabbert, 18 of 28, 150 yards with 1 touchdown. He was sacked 9 times.
Count them 9 bleeping times.
Yeah. And so we have one 49ers wide receiver, Flippin' Jerome Simpson.
I see what you did there.
He had 2 catches for 20 yards and a touchdown. So, with only 3 games left in the season, I mean, it's, you know, everyone's going to be asking it, what should the Browns do with one Johnny Manziel?
Well, first of all, let's be clear. 9 sacks given up to the Browns. Can people start to listen to what I've been saying about the 49ers offensive line now? Just saying, right? I don't know. Chris, let me ask you, because normally I let you kind of skip out on this question because I know you're not even remotely interested. But I'm more curious than you are uninterested, so I'm going to ask you. Mansfield, I mean, what do you do with him at this point if you're the Browns GM?
You got to make a business decision and see if it's worth his off-field status of what his presence is on the field. On the field, I mean, it's nothing spectacular on the field, but you know, I mean, what is he 2-1 this year? I think starting.
Yeah,
I don't know his record. I know he's won some games. I'll put it that way.
So I mean, you got to look at. Everyone else says, "Oh, it's a business," but you know, he does dumb things, lots of dumb things, but. I mean, really, he had that freshman year at
A&M, Texas A&M.
Right, but look at who he had as receivers. He had Mike Evans as a receiver that would go up and catch anything.
And still does.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a bad pass. I mean, he'd take off running, but, I mean, a lot of times Mike Evans bailed him out in his freshman year. That's why his sophomore year wasn't as good.
He has other options beyond Gary Barnidge in that system. I see where you're going.
So, I'd say just... I mean, they're saying if he messes up one more time, he's done. But, I mean, you take a chance on him. You got to see what he can do for you. Not this in a game, two games out. Just either go with him or don't go with him at all. So I'd say there's 3 games left. Just give it to him. Say, here's your 3 games. Here's basically your job interview.
Otherwise,
And otherwise, it's you're gone. We're going for someone else after the offseason because really I don't see him. I think they're going to bust another draft pick next year on a quarterback that they're not even going to keep. So,
you're nicer than I am about it. I think they should cut him like a piece of paper with scissors. You know, I think he's shown that at the very least he's a project. And on the Browns books, again, staying with the business thing, he is more in price than a project. I don't know, but there you go, Weasel.
Sorry if this sounds like Gossip Corner or whatever, but...
Hey, if it's going to come from anywhere on this show, it's going to come from you. I'm all right with it. Fire away, baby.
All right, so a couple weeks ago, Mansfield got in trouble or something. He was out partying or something.
Right.
What exactly happened? Because I heard that he was out, like, on his...
It's because the controversy surrounding that is because he was holding a drink, but he was supposed to be in rehab. I haven't really heard the outcome to that. I think the latest... scandal now is will there be charges of vandalism from the Microsoft Corporation upon what he did to that Microsoft Surface? So that's really the developing story. See what I did there with the... No, I really don't know, Weasel, but I do know that the big deal was because he was holding a drink and out partying in a club. when he was supposed to be in rehab.
So going back with you labeling him as the project, can we start calling him the money pit then?
Oh,
because you're throwing all and you threw all this money at you in it, but it's problem after problem.
Money Pit Manziel, trademark that. Yeah, holy guacamole! woo! Money Pit Manziel. Okay, I'm gonna pass this one to Chris now to do Colts Jags, and when you hear the door opening closing, there's gonna be me going to get this trademark. Chris, go.
The Jags got the revenge from earlier in the season.
I'm getting that trademark.
Jags got the revenge from earlier in the season when the kicker blew the game for them, and this time they did not need Jason Myers because they got help from their defense and special teams on their way to a 51-16 beatdown of the Colts. The Colts' only touchdown on the day was a bad Jag snap that hit Bortles in the right shoulder and recovered in the end zone by Robert Mathis. This game looked like it was going to get out of hand early in the second quarter when the Colts were up 13-3, except Jags defensive end Andre Branch stripped the ball from Matt Hasselbeck and returned it 49 yards for a touchdown. The Jags in the third quarter got a punt return for a touchdown as well. Bortles, not a great day, 16 for 30 for 250 yards, three touchdowns. He also had a rushing touchdown, but you know he had two fumbles, the one that hit him off the shoulder. They counted that one on him, and then he had another fumble. Matt Hasselbeck must have been a listener of the show last week when Weasel said that he was done with him.
Oh.
Because, I think it hurt his feelings because he was 18 for 35 for 252 yards with that lost fumble. I mean, not good stats there.
Feel, Weasel? How's that feel?
He's like dead to you now. You're like, he's dead to me now. I'm done. He lost. That's it.
Just keeping it real.
Hey, and you know what? In case you're listening, Matt Hasselbeck, for the record, he made the most fun of you with, "We're going to get the ball, and we're going to score." So there's that, too. He hated you when you were young and old.
Oh, memories. Way, way back memories.
Wow.
Right, so
Hasselbeck had hair. Oh. So, wait, now my hair comment is too far, really? Anyway.
He's going to go get a wig right now. The Jags also dominated on the ground with a committee as Denard Robinson had 75 yards and a touchdown, and a rookie TJ Yeldon chipped in with 62. Frank Gore for the Colts had 60. Alan Hearns, after missing the past 2 weeks, was a leading Jags receiver with 105 yards and a touchdown. Julius Thomas, almost a touchdown because he's had a touchdown catch in this game, which is his fourth straight game with a touchdown. And Allen Robinson was quiet in his day. He only had one catch, but it was a touchdown.
Yeah, that's loud enough.
Yeah. For the Colts, T.Y. Hilton had four catches for 132 yards. But not to get off topic here, but let me ask you guys, what is the job that you could be wrong most of the time and it's not a big deal and you still keep your job?
Weatherman,
that's correct. Unless...
I had a different direction.
Unless you're being employed as a kicker for Gus Bradley.
Uh-oh.
Kyle, cue the music. For the third straight week...
Oh, no!
Jags kicker Jason Myers missed an extra point.
So...
Giving him seven on the year, which is one less than the total NFL missed all of last year.
By the way, when you post your question of... Pose the question one more time, the wording that you had.
What is the job that you could be wrong most of the time, and it's not a big deal, and you still keep your job?
And no one had NFL referee? No, really?
Okay.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. Whether it's better, it's like... it's like we're in Florida. It's a 50% chance of rain today during the summer. It's always like that. It's like an 80% chance.
Yeah, it might be pass interference. I'll throw it. Whatever.
For a weatherman, if you say 99%, you're never wrong.
Yeah, going back, I mean, difference in the game. Jags were 4 for 4 in the red zone. Colts were 0 for 3. So, is this the end for Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis this year?
I mean, unequivocally, it has to be at this point, right? I mean, granted, he does have the injury excuse, but let's be honest. They opted to not extend his contract, and this team has been a blasted shambles. I think this is... If I'm the one making the decisions when it comes to Pagano's contract, I go, okay... The 1 year you actually had to coach, as in you didn't have Andrew Luck saving the day on a regular basis, with a good offense behind him, him bailing you out on constant, whatever. The one year you don't have that, in one of, if not the worst division in the NFL, and it was too much for you to handle, yeah, you're done. I don't think playoffs saves Pagano at this point. Because the best he could do if they went out is 9-7, am I right? So, yeah, because, yeah, well, anyways. So, no, I mean, yeah, we'll turn what Chris posed into a pop quiz. Is he gone, yes or no? I say yes, Weasley.
Well, I just want to say that, yeah, I think with Andrew Luck, okay, last year, 61% passing percentage, 40 touchdowns to 16 INTs. This year,
MVP candidate, too, in 2014.
Oh, yes, most definitely. This year, 55% passing, 15 touchdowns to 12 INTs. What is the difference, like, between this season and last season? Is it something with the offensive line? Is it something with the play calling? Because that's a big drop there.
They got rid of Pat Pimelton, who was the offense coordinator last year.
Excellent.
So they got rid of him, and then it looked like their offense started going. But the thing was, is they were trying to take the big shots down the field, and he's not getting the protection with the line, and he's getting sacked or forcing the ball in. They were just really looking for T.Y. Hilton almost every time down the field. Like, you go out there for, like, a drive, at least one of the plays in that drive was a deep ball down with T.Y. Hilton.
Because, first of all, Andre Johnson is not delivering anymore as a deep ball threat. I think it's safe to say that the Colts offense has lost some pep. Wah-wah.
What's funny is I went on a website, a sports website, and it goes, Chuck Pagano, quote, they can't eat you. They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
That's...
I'm like, what?
That's correct. The only thing I can answer that with is, that's correct.
So because they're asking about him, about it, you know, if he's worried about his job. And he's like, I don't care if I'm in Boise next year. Play with my grandkids. It doesn't
guess
matter.
Guess what?
So,
yeah.
Whatever. It's Boise what State, I do.
Boise State's not going to hire you either.
No, it's not, because they're going to coach. So.
Yeah. I mean, that would be funny that he went from the Colts to that blue and white field. It would be a natural transition. But no! Anyway.
Yeah, because they're the... Well, it's just changing horses. Colts to the Broncos.
Wow, I didn't even think of that. Still not going to happen. Moving on. Cowboys, Packers. Now, when you look at this on the schedule, you're probably thinking that Matt Castle and the Cowboys would have an absolute futility in winning the game, and you'd be absolutely right. The Packers prevail 28-7. Matt Castle did what he always does, 13 for 29, 114 yards with an interception. Aaron Rodgers, 22 for 35, 218 yards with two touchdowns. But if you ask me what got the win, it's the running game. That's right, the running game of the Green Bay Packers. 35 total carries between the top two contributors to get 195 yards and two touchdowns. Of course, Eddie Lacy had 24 carries, 124 yards with one of the touchdowns. And James Starks had 11 carries, 71 yards with a touchdown, and also a receiving touchdown as well, 4 for 32. Guys, I'm not even going to go into the rest of the stats. I'm going to make it plain and simple. The key to the Packers' victory moving forward to try to take the NFC North is continuing to find a way to run the football effectively, to be a balanced offense. Weasel.
I think it was, it was last week where one Eddie Lacy had, for my team, 0.1 fantasy points. Now, it ended up, I thought it was, he had a terrible game. What happened? His thing was he missed curfew, so they pretty That's much right. cut him off, and I'm sure he's back, but... just, you know, get there on time next time, because...
You know who else missed curfew in that game? Apparently, the Lions secondary for being absolutely useless on that 61-yard Hail Mary. We've
much,
been over that enough. Yeah. We don't need to touch on that again.
But the difference with the Pack this week and last week is that Mike McCarthy retook over the play calling.
Interesting.
So that's why the plays were a little differently. They looked a little more in sync on the offense.
And there's more running of the foosball.
That's you good. Know. That's good.
I mean, interesting. Okay.
This was his first year of not calling the plays since he's been up there as the head coach.
And he's like, skeegay. Okay, I can't blame him. And it's working. Mike McCarthy's a fantastic coach. I mean, you know, I'll leave it at that. He's certainly in the top 3 to 5, depending on who you ask. Anyways, speaking of top coaches, I suppose we have to mention Belichick at this point. as he and the Pats traveled to Houston, just like I did, where the Pats played the Texans. Now, guys, I didn't have any illusions of grandeur with the Houston Texans winning this football game, but I did think it might be just a little competitive. Oh, then I remembered Gronk was back as well. 27-6, your final. While I was thoroughly disappointed watching the Houston Texan offensive line interior allow Hoyer to get sacked up teens of, like, what, 5-6 times, he went 11 for 22, 155 with a lost fumble. He left the game early. I think T.J. Yates threw like 4 passes. Thoughts are that T.J. Yates will be starting next week, possibly concussion protocol and whatnot.
Yeah, it's Hoyer's second concussion of the season.
Very good, correct.
So he is out.
Second concussion of the season.
Yes, that's correct.
So he's out for next week. That's guaranteed.
That's serious stuff.
That is serious stuff. Yeah, I mean, we'll get into that a little bit later. Tom Brady did go 22 for 30, 226 yards with 2 touchdowns. But the big plays made more. Who made most of the big play, guys?
Gronk.
Exactly.
And then James White out of the backfield because everyone forgot to cover him.
That's correct. And James White did have a couple big passes on the day, but Gronk was the leading receiver, 4 catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown, which it's a sight to behold for him to watch him jump up and get a pass in person. I'm just saying. I got nothing else. There you go. Keyshawn Martin had a touchdown as well for the Patriots. He also lost a fumble. DeAndre Hopkins only had 3 catches this game, and the Houston Texans offense only managed to get to the red zone one time where they kicked a field goal, and that one time, I believe, was a fumble by Keyshawn Martin off of a punt.
Yeah, I don't know, cause you were there watching the game, but what I was watching, it didn't look like they were trying to utilize DeAndre Hopkins as well. They were trying to get him trying to throw the ball deep with him,
right,
and not get the ball in space, and the corner's playing 5-10 yards off of him.
Right.
I don't know why they don't try to just have him just go and stop and run a quick stop the back shoulder and get him the ball or slant, because, I mean, that corner's playing so far off of him. Well, hitting the slants and just...
That's a good point. They could have run slants more, but what I felt like they were doing was trying to open up the underneath to get Ryan Griffin, the tight end, open, number 84, who dropped 4 passes.
Yeah, I was about to say you can't catch a cold.
Yeah, the drops that he had, needless to say, killed at least 2 drives. And yeah,
he had 2 of those drops in the same series.
Yeah, that he did. Getting a chance to see J.J. Watt in person annihilate cats with 1 hand was an experience. Let's put it this way. Little John may get sick of hearing people go up to him going, yeah. I don't think J.J. Watt will ever get sick of crowds cheering for him. Turn down for Watt. Okay. That music plays. He hypes up the crowd. The timeout's over. He beats a tackle on the opposite side, trips the running back with his 1 good hand. Oh, I'm so hot for Watt.
They should play that song more often.
Apparently they needed to. Apparently they needed to.
It gets him pumped up, gets everyone else pumped up.
I think I might start trying to play that song while I'm coding at work. That might get me pumped up. Moving on. Panthers-Falcons. Go ahead, Chris.
Panthers won a close game, and Cam Newton slacked by only throwing 3 touchdown passes as the Panthers blanked division rival Falcons 38-0.
Riveted. My seat was soaked with sweat. Try saying that 5 times fast.
Matt Ryan was 22 for 34 for 224 yards and a touchdown. He was yanked, and in came Sean Renfrey, who threw an interception.
With a name like Renfrey.
Julio Jones was the only highlight for the Falcons with 88 yards receiving. Wow.
That was very Ben Stein of you. Yeah. Clear eyes with Julio Jones. Wow. That's a commercial that mommies and daddies watch. Go ahead.
Cam Newton solidifying his MVP spot was 15 for 21 for 265 yards with those 3 touchdowns. Jonathan Stewart had 75 yards and a touchdown. He left the game early with an ankle injury, but it's not serious. I think he should be back. They originally thought it was going to be a broken ankle.
Yeah.
It's not. So in came Fozzie Whitaker, and he had a touchdown run.
Waka Waka!
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to put that in there, but...
I found a way.
I was about to say, just going running back Waka Waka Fozzie Whitaker, or, you know, but... Tekken Jr. caught 2 of his 3 targets, which was better than last week.
Woohoo!
Both catches were for touchdowns. He had 120 yards, But he did really push off on one of them.
Yeah, he did. So. He totally did.
Ed Dixon had a touchdown catch. I really see the Panthers just winning their last three if they don't sit anyone. Because of the teams they play against.
Okay, and that schedule is, and stop me when I get it wrong, it's the Giants next week. They correct. Have the Bucks in 17 and the Falcons again in 16.
Correct.
I honestly think, and you're probably even still going to disagree with me despite, I honestly think next week is the biggest risk for the Panthers. And I say that because we've seen what the Giants have done in the past against teams that were undefeated. Yeah, I know it's not the Super Bowl. Jokes, yaka, waka, waka, whatever. No, Fozzie Whitaker, crap. I got to be careful with the waka,
actually,
waka now. But
Just letting you know, I believe that when the Patriots had their 19-0 season, the last team they played was the Giants.
In the regular season as
yes,
well, correct.
And they
that
lost
game
to them,
was also
yeah.
awfully close as well.
Yeah, the Giants blew that game.
Just like they blew the one this year where they should have beaten the Patriots and they shot themselves in the foot. Repeated gunshots to the metatarsals, you know. Self-inflicted gunshots to the metatarsals.
But the one difference is the Panthers' defense, when they pressure Eli, he makes us bad throws, interceptions. The Panthers' defense is better than the Patriots' defense.
Obviously.
So with that, I mean, looking earlier in the season, I mean, when they played against the Eagles' defense flustered Eli all game. The Giants' defense had four interceptions in the game, and they couldn't do anything with it.
Right. See,
I think it's going to be like the same kind of thing here without those interceptions. So they're not going to intercept Cam Newton that much.
For my money, if I'm playing against Cam Newton, which I'm not, but if I were, I would do it the same way teams earlier in the season attacked Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has now managed to evolve to get past it, but I would try that approach. Attack the run and the outsides and just see what happens for you. Are you that worried about Ted Ginn? Seriously? Okay. Olsen will get his catches in one-on-one coverage. I'm fine with that. You know, you got to bring an omelet to make some eggs. I get that. But I don't know. And being said, I think I'll go on record as saying this. If the Panthers win next week, I'm going to start declaring and predicting undefeated for the Panthers. If I end up wrong, I end up wrong. It's fine. But that's where I'm at. Weasel, what do you think?
I'm good. Okay. Just follow through with your picks then.
Yeah, no. Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, that doesn't change how I feel about how they'll do in the... Or that might change in regards to how I feel they'll do in the playoffs, but we're just talking regular season for the moment. Speaking of regular season versus the playoffs, Saints, Bucks, Chris.
The Bucks at home fell to division rival Saints 24-17, and I'm saying it now, they have no chance at making the playoffs.
Wait a minute.
The Bucks.
Like, but mathematically, they could possibly do the thing with no?
Mathematically, they're two games back right now, and there's no way that the Seahawks or
the Vikings
are going to lose two out of their three games.
Well, see, here's the thing.
And they'd actually technically have to lose all three in order for the Bucks to get in.
Well, it depends on the conference schedule and all that other crap, but I say all that to say this. Two of the last three games for the Seahawks are the Rams and the Browns. Okay, that's pretty safe. Two of the last three games for the Vikings, well, one of them is the Packers. That's week 17. That is not going to be an easy game. And I had it up here earlier and then I lost it, so I got to click the button here one more time, which isn't a problem because, you know, computer talent. Boom. But the Vikings' last three games, they happen to be the Bears,
and the Giants.
The Giants, and the Packers, the last three games. None of those are gimmies. It is very plausible that they could lose to the Giants and Packers, and the Bears ain't a gimme, too. I mean, granted, it's awkward as heck in the Hurley house because of, you know, divided fanhood, which, by the way, hey, props to you and as a married couple keeping it together with that game happening twice a year.
Yeah.
It's bad enough when it might be once a year. Twice? Oh, I mean, you know, think about going into marriage counseling, because that's just proof that you can do it right. I'm just saying.
Do you guys have a household rule that she has to work those nights or something like that?
No.
Hey, don't give away the trade secret, man. Just try to go into marriage counseling. No, but in all seriousness, I can't rule out that the Vikings might stumble. The problem I have is what the Bucs have to accomplish. And specifically, you already mentioned that it's the Panthers in Week 17, those same pesky Bears in 16, and then 15 they have the Rams. Okay, I'm confident the Bucs could beat the Rams, but that's not necessarily a gimme since, you know, Todd Gurley decided to remember how to run the football. The Bears, you never know what you're getting from them. Hell, they just, well, more on that, more on their game and how close it was later, and then the Panthers. If they win, the Bucs are Giants fans this week, because they need the Panthers to lose. And that's the only way the Bucs win that game is if they're sitting Cam Newton. And even then, it's not a gimme, because Derek Anderson in the past, in 2014 in particular, did a great job of backing Cam up.
Against the Bucs. All right.
So if you needed a more detailed reason of why you think the Bucs are done, that's it. Everybody got that? There'll be a test
so,
later.
So what I said in like 3 seconds, it took him...
Shut up!
Jameis Winston, we were just talking about, you know, he should be mentioning the Offensive Rookie of the Year last week. He didn't put up that much impressive numbers this game. Yeah, he didn't turn the ball over. You know, that's good for a rookie quarterback, not turning the ball over. But he was 18 for 32 for 182 yards against the Saints defense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a good answer for that either. I don't know if that's a matter of play calling and scheme. It looked to me like they tried to run the ball a little bit more in this game.
But they've tried to run the ball more in every game. I mean, if you look at this, his receivers only had 65 yards receiving combined, a wide receiver spot. Out of his 182, that means there's 117 yards were to running backs and tight ends. Doug Martin had 81 yards on the ground, and he had a touchdown.
Yeah, I see where you're going. I mean, we'll get more into the Rookie of the Year race a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Drew Brees had one of his better days this year, 31 for 41 over 312 yards with two touchdowns. Running back Tim Hightower. Name sounds a little familiar, huh?
Say.
Yeah. You know when he was drafted? I'll give you a hint. He's been out of the league one year less than he's been in it.
He's been out of the league 1 year less
than he's been in the league.
He's been in the league. So he's been out of the league for 3 years and in it for two, I'm guessing. Are you counting this year?
The other way around.
Wait, what'd I say? He's been out of the league for...
3 years.
3 years. And yeah, I thought that's what I said. Did I say it wrong? Okay.
He's been out of the league 1 year less than he's been in the league.
Right, so he's been... Oh, okay, so he's been in the league 3 years, out two. Okay, I heard it wrong.
No.
It's just really weird, because...
I'm terrible
he's
at this game.
Yeah, he's been out of the league for 3 years.
Yeah.
So that means he's been in the league for four.
Oh, okay.
So 7 years, 2008.
With the Cardinals
is where he was drafted.
That part I knew. I couldn't tell you when it was, but it sounds to me like you're getting a 2008?
Yeah. 2008, he was drafted in the fourth or fifth round by the Cardinals.
Wow.
I looked it up yesterday because I'm like, Tim Hyatt, that sounds familiar. He hasn't been in the league in a while. And I look over, he's like, he's a 4 year veteran. He's 29 years old with 4 year veteran, and he was drafted in 2008. I'm like, huh.
It's kind of weird that with Ingram out, I was thinking that, oh, okay, you got CJ Spiller. He's ready to go. He was going to be the guy. And they also had, was it Fred Taylor too? Fred Jackson.
Fred Jackson, first of all, yeah. Taylor's a retired player.
Fred Jackson.
Is actually in Seattle.
In Seattle, okay. Well, I was expecting Spiller to be the guy, and out of nowhere comes Hightower, and so he got a score, so.
Yeah, I mean, he had 85 yards on the ground with a touchdown.
Best analysis of this particular game. You got a score. Thank you, Weasel. Did he ever run for 69 yards? I'm just curious.
No.
Moving on.
Willie Steed had 122 yards receiving. Ben Watson had 70. But it was the reemergence of Marquise Colston with two touchdown catches.
Jimmy who?
Difference in the game, time of possessions. The Saints had the ball for one quarter more than the Bucks.
I mean, I guess Tim Hightower opened up options they didn't have before, which is something I haven't had to say in a while. So, yeah.
So the Bucs couldn't do what every other team could do on the Saints on a score.
Interesting. I mean, the Bucs scored on them plenty the first time they played. Wasn't that 42-14 or something? I don't know. The point is this. The Bucs are in trouble. I'll say that. And Chris is already, you know.
I already wrote him off.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, with that, next game up, Steelers-Bengals. Wheeze away.
In a huge divisional matchup, the Steelers on the road defeated the Bengals 33-20. Steelers quarterback Big Ben Roethlisberger was 30 of 39, 282 yards, no touchdowns, 1 INT. He was sacked twice. Steelers running back D'Angelo Williams, 23 carries for 76 yards and 2 touchdowns. Wide receiver Antonio Brown had 7 catches for 87 yards, and Heath Miller at a 10 for 66. Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton, 3 of 5, 59 yards and an INT. The interception occurred with 5 minutes remaining in the first quarter on a 2nd and goal at the 5-yard line. Dalton, he threw a shovel pass, but he didn't see the 303-pound defensive end, Stephon Tuitt.
That's because he was standing sideways.
I see what you did there.
So he intercepted it, and Dalton tried to tackle him, and he had to leave the game due to a right thumb fracture. So it does turn out, though, today, that he will not need surgery, which means that he may be able to play back at least, you know, into the playoffs, but I think they're calling him a week-to-week type of thing. The backup, A.J. McCarron, was 22 of 32, 280 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. He did have an impressive 66-yard touchdown pass to one A.J. Green.
With some of the worst tackling I've ever seen a Steeler try to execute.
I was about to say that was more of A.J. Green doing it. But,
yeah, well, yeah. You know, that's what he does.
He got the ball down there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Green made a good move. It was just some garbage tackling. I'm sorry.
Hey, they tackle each other pretty well, though.
Yeah, oh, no doubt.
Nailed it. But on the other side, early in the third quarter, he threw a pick six. An interception return 23 yards for a touchdown by Steelers cornerback William Gay. A.J. Green, he did have 6 catches for 132 yards in that touchdown. You have running back Rex Burkhead. Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty rugged name, dude. I'm not going to lie.
It is.
I'm not talking smack on a guy named Rex Burkhead. I'm less the only guy I'm less likely to make fun of is Dane Sizenbacher, or what's the guy used to be on my Stoneburner. Okay, the only two guys I'm more likely to talk smack on, three guys, four guys counting Watt and Merciless. But yeah, Rex Burkhead.
Yeah,
I mean, dude,
it's pretty awesome.
I'm just saying,
he had a 5-yard touchdown reception, and then the first half, big blow for the Bengals offense. Tight end Tyler Eifert had to leave the game due to a concussion. Concussion protocol. That's what he's got to have the next, we'll see how long. Steelers kicker Chris Boswell was 4-4 in field goals, and he was 3-3 on extra points.
You have to mention that now.
Now you have, it's like, awesome, 3-3 on extra points. Back
I'm
then, nothing.
I'm not going to have to hear this music.
You know, what's the Steelers kicker again? What's his name?
Chris Boswell.
Yeah, how long has he been in the league, do you know?
Weeks.
I know weeks with the Steelers, because the Steelers traded for Scooby yeah, that, from the Jags,
that,
and that
didn't
money,
work
you know.
Out. Yeah.
Right, but this guy's extra points and field goals were like, if you could draw a line down the middle of the uprights, it was basically straight down the middle every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It was like wow, look at it. It's like,
so it's like, yeah, the opposite of Robbie Gould.
No, he didn't!
And I didn't say that!
I said it! That's why I said it!
Hey, no matter how many times Robbie Gould misses, still less than Jason Myers sometimes.
So true!
The positive side.
I mean, that can be his thing when he goes to the sidelines with Robbie Gould going down with the coach looking at him and like, hey, at least I'm not Jason Myers.
So, Mr. Boswell, thank you for coming in today, Chris. Just want to let you know that we might be going a different direction at the kicker position, so we're going to let you go. I just want to know, is there anything you want to say before we wrap up here today? Oh, come on, I'm not Jason Myers! Anyways, keep going, man.
So, pretty much, should the Bengals risk playing Andy Dalton before the playoffs?
Let me tell you where I'm at with my reasoning before I tell you my answer. Remaining schedule is two of the 3 weeks are these massive NFL juggernauts. The 49ers and the Ravens. Very good, Chris. Both of which I am fairly confident that A.J. McCarron could beat on his own. Then there's the Denver Broncos. Now, the Denver Broncos, depending on their ground, are, let's put it this way. When it comes to getting a bye this year, you don't have to be the fastest person. You just have to be faster than the one that's ranked the third seed. And in light of the fact the Broncos are where they are, and the Patriots currently are where they are, you just have to make sure you don't lose that third game. You put in McCarron against the Broncos. If you're that concerned about Andy Dalton, you lose that game, you go 2-1. I believe...
You still make the playoffs.
You still get the bye at that point as well. Yep. Da-da-da! Of course, they did just lose to the Steelers, so I may need to reevaluate my math.
Yeah, there's still like a game or two up on the Steelers.
I'm not talking about the division. I'm talking about the
overall record. I'm talking about
right, and I'm talking about the conference rankings. So let me look. I said it wrong. The Patriots have two losses, and the Bengals now have a third loss. So that's a problem. And maybe they want it. They don't need to try to keep up with the Patriots.
Well,
they just need to make sure they're ahead of the Broncos. Is my point.
Well, before the game started yesterday, the Patriots are in third.
Right. And now they're not.
And now, yeah, because both teams.
And that's where I got confused. Lost. I mean, I'll just call it what it is. But.
Which I thought was funny is because the Bengals played first. And they're in first place going into yesterday. And right. They're like, oh, they dropped down to 3. Now the Broncos are number 1. I was like, the other two games haven't even played yet. Why are you even talking like, oh, they dropped down to this and that? And I'm like.
Drama, change the channel. That's why, okay?
Well, mine is, you're stupid, I'm changing the channel.
Well, you can always just put it on mute. There's that. Which you've done before, too.
You still gotta look at your stupid face, though. Their stupid face, though. It's...
Well, but then you could, like, you know, pantomime what they're saying. Hey, Joe, that's a great dress you wore on Thursday night. You know, that kind of, I don't know. Anyways. Are we good there, Weasel?
Good.
In that case, yeah. The next game up involves the Rams and the Lions. Weasel, go ahead.
The Rams at home defeated the Lions 21-14. Rams quarterback Case Keenum was 14 of 22, 124 yards, 1 INT, sacked once. Rams rookie running back Todd Gurley decided to show up. 16 carries for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Does that mean his name is Todd decided to finally not be Gurley?
Okay, I can see that.
Weasel allows it, only because of all the points he got on your bench.
Yeah, on my bench, exactly. So, Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford was 30 of 46, 245 yards and 2 touchdowns, sacked 4 times. The first score of the game was a pick 6 by Rams cornerback Trumaine Johnson, who returned Stafford's interception 58 yards for a touchdown. Lions wide receiver Golden Tate had 9 catches for 60 yards and 2 touchdowns. Bad news for Lions. Tight end Brandon Pettigrew is out for the season due to a torn ACL.
Oh.
That stinks.
Yeah.
Golden Tate, he scored a touchdown with 2:07 remaining to bring the Lions within one score as they were down 21-14. The Lions actually successfully recovered the onside kick at their own 47-yard line, but the offense couldn't get anything going as they were stopped on a 4th-and-3. So... You got Todd Gurley, you know, showing back up to having some positive fantasy points here, but where do you put him in terms of offensive rookie of the year?
Okay, so at this point, I think there's only 3 names that you're really examining in the top of the race, right? Obviously,
Cooper.
Amari Cooper of the Carter-Cooper combo. Okay. Winston, right? Jameis Winston. Yep. And, of course, Todd Gurley.
I'd say possibly maybe Lockett from Seattle. Maybe should get some little couple votes.
Ty Lockett. I would need to do more research.
He wouldn't be offense because a lot of times with it, he's just come on strong a couple the last 2 weeks. But beginning the first 8 games of the season, he was not an offensive threat. He was a kick returner, punt returner. So that would just limit him out because he's not really as offense. It's more of a special teams.
That's an interesting question. I don't know how they played with that. What's he listed on as a roster?
He's a wide receiver. Yeah, but
I think based on that, he would have to be an offensive. But I could be wrong.
But he doesn't have any offensive stats. So if you're looking like what they always do stat-wise, they don't show punt returns and kick returns on their stats as on their special all-purpose yards.
They may do that as an addition thing. I think that's part of that was part of Cordarrelle Patterson's consideration during his year. But it's an interesting question. But I think I would put Lockett fourth. You know, if we're having that discussion, and I'm not even sure yet, I'd put him ahead of Mariota. You know, But both the Raiders and the Bucks are kind of in playoff in contention, whereas the Rams are not. And there's been a lot of weeks where Gurley has been missing due to injury, and he's been missing due to a lack of production. At this point in time, I would have to put him number three. Considering the fact that the Raiders may possibly have a better chance than the Bucks of making the playoffs, I would give the slight edge to Amari Cooper of the Carter Cooper combo. Do we agree?
Question.
Yeah, I got Cooper as my number one.
Among receiving receivers, you know, I guess, you know, you could say like a tight end or a wide receiver or anything, who leads among all rookies for touchdowns?
How many touchdowns?
Who leads?
How many total touchdowns?
One player has five touchdowns. Second place has four touchdowns. It's tied for second with
I mean, is it Lockett?
Lockett has five. Cooper and one David Johnson, who came on late because of the injuries of Chris Johnson and Ellington.
Running back, yeah.
So David Johnson, yeah, he's been coming on late. But, yeah, Lockett's doing good, but Amari Cooper, there were games where he kind of disappeared. So, but I'd say...
I mean, there were some games where Amari Cooper disappeared, but there are some games also where Gurley disappeared. We're only lately hearing about Lockett doing good things in the receiving game. I think this is one where we really do safely need to see...
A little bit more.
What happens throughout the entire course. I mean, I guess that's evidence of a close race, so in my view, that's a good thing, but no. Good job, Weasel. Good question there. I like that. I like that a lot. Well done with the Lockett thing. I dig that. Something else? Ooh. Well, I don't know if you dig this quite as much. Let's go ahead and talk it over. The Redskins and the Bears. Weasel.
Redskins on the road defeated the Bears 24-21. Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins, 24 of 31, 300 yards, one touchdown, one INT, sacked three times, but he did have four scrambles for 13 yards and a rushing touchdown.
You like that?
That is so awesome. Never gets old. Redskins running back Matt Jones had 18 carries for 62 yards. Running back Alfred Morris had 11 for 24 and a touchdown. Redskins tight end Jordan Reed, 9 catches for 120 yards and a touchdown.
With credit for 4 or 5 broken bleeping tackles on said touchdown.
Yeah.
Just saying. He got hit like by a bunch of people, and it just didn't work. Yeah. I don't know if that's a defense fail or an offense win, but it was something impressive.
It's mostly like a defensive fail.
Yeah.
I was going to say fitty-fitty, but okay.
Yeah, no. The way they've been tackling lately? No.
Yep. Bears quarterback Jay Cutler was 19 of 31, 315 yards with 2 touchdowns, sacked 3 times. You have Scuddy's back. Bears running back Matt Forte, 10 carries for 45 yards and a touchdown.
Yes.
Wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey, 6 catches for 107 yards and a touchdown. With Bears tight end Martellus Bennett, he was out this game due to a season-ending injury. You have filling in tight end Zach Miller, filling in nicely. 5 catches, 85 yards and a touchdown. So with 2:11 remaining, the Bears got the ball at their own 20, down by 3. Cutler drove the team downfield to the Redskins' 32-yard line. That set up Bears kicker Robbie Gould for a 50-yard field goal. Yeah, he missed wide right.
Uh-oh.
50-yard field goal's kind of not too much of a gimme, yeah. But something. Maybe some concern, because last week he missed a 36-yard field goal, which straight up... Great cue for the music. No, you could turn it on.
Oh, okay. Shoot, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Because last week, one Robbie Gould missed a 36-yard field goal at the end of regulation that would have gave the Bears a victory over the 49ers. And in overtime in that game, yeah, it was a, I believe it was a Bolden.
So garbage.
Touchdown.
Yeah, it was Torrey Smith.
Torrey Smith, yeah, touchdown at the end. I think it was like 71 yards or so. So the question is, has Gould lost his glitter?
No, but he lost his shine.
Ooh, okay. I'm gonna piggyback that. No, but he lost his shine.
That works with me.
Anyways, oh man, you know. By the way, not for you know what. We'll get into it later because we got to talk more NFC East as we go on. We'll just say that the Skins winning keeps that division race alive in all its nasty, disgusting looking glory. A game that you may have thought easy though. For the Denver Broncos, was not. The Raiders, your Oakland Raiders, pull off the shock upset victory over the Broncos, 15-12. Derek Carr, DC4, didn't necessarily have a great passing game, 12 for 29, 135 yards, but did have two touchdowns. Brock Osweiler went 35 for 51, 308 yards in this defeat. Guys, I'm going to point it to one thing and one thing alone. I get that the Denver Broncos only ran the ball 19 times for 34 yards, but having Osweiler throw it 51 times is not a key to victory. Apparently, also, the tight end position is not good enough because while the Raiders have struggled with coverage of the tight end position, not anywhere did I see Vernon Davis. Sure, he had 70-something yards. 72 yards, I think it was, but not enough of an impact made there, that position.
He had a drop on the last drive, like wide open ball in his hands and dropped it.
I blame Tony Romo. Moving on.
Are you sure it's not Colin Kaepernick?
Oh! why not? Everybody else does. Yeah, Michael Rivera, spelled M-Y-C-H-A-L. I still hate that. Three catches, 49 yards, and a touchdown. Of course, Seth Roberts with a touchdown as well for the Raiders. Look, the bottom line is this, guys. There were two turnovers by the Broncos and none to be had for the Oakland Raiders. And they drop the Broncos down into the standings. And there's been a particularly hot team in the AFC West who has won six straight, trying to win seven straight. Weasel, walk us through what happened. Chargers, Chiefs.
The Chiefs at home defeated the Chargers 10-3. Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith, 15 of 23, 191 yards, one touchdown, 1 INT, sacked twice. wide receiver Albert Wilson, four catches for 87 yards, and the game's lone touchdown. Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers was 24 of 43, 263 yards, 1 INT. He was sacked five times. And Rivers did not get much help from his running game. As rookie running back, I don't think he's really in the conversation for rookie of the year.
No, he is not.
One, Melvin Gordon, 14 carries for only 35 yards.
Noticed very distinctly how we did not even whisper.
There wasn't a pause to
breathe,
think.
Even consider, even fathom this possibility.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. By the way, for the record, towards the end of the game, not Philip Rivers' fault. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Oh. Huh. Chargers tight end Antonio Gates had six receptions for 76 yards. And you have the Chiefs, after starting 1-5, kind of looked like their season was over. They're on a 7-game winning streak.
Bam!
So we got in contention for the West. We have two teams. We have
Oh, yeah. I like it because Andy Reid. Oh, yeah.
Ding.
No, that's a win.
Yes.
So. You are correct, sir.
You got the Broncos at 10-3. Their remaining games are at the Steelers. And at home versus the Bengals and the Chargers. For the Chiefs, they're 8-5. At the Ravens, Browns, and then the Raiders. So, how is the West won?
So, gentlemen, up front, you see the Broncos' schedule. That ain't easy. I believe I heard you say the Steelers and the Bengals.
Yep.
Okay, fine. The third game's the
Chargers.
Thank you.
You're right.
I don't care what happens in that game because I don't think... I think 0-2 is possible. I'm not going to be brave enough to call it, but they will lose one of those games. I'll call that. They're going to be 1-1 over the next 2 weeks. And I think I know which game I'm going to call, but you know, teaser. The Chiefs, however, Raiders, Browns. There's two wins right there. They can get the third one, which the final game... who was the final game for the Chiefs? I'm sorry, Weasel.
The Raiders? The Raiders at home.
That's a winnable football game. I'm going to say the Chiefs hold their own destiny in their hands because technically today the answer to that is no, they don't. But they will because the Broncos will drop at least one game in the last three. I'm calling it now. Anybody think I'm wrong?
Nope.
Now you're good.
Okay. Yes.
I think the last game of the season, Chargers at Broncos, yeah, that one's going to be, I think, competitive. So.
Right. Now, granted, I know that the Broncos are up two games right at this moment, but if you look at the divisional record, if the Chiefs win out, the worst they can do is 5-1 in the division. The best the Broncos could do is 4-2. So if they win out, if the Chiefs win out, plausible, and the Broncos have to be 2-1 or else they're not winning the division, period. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty safe to say at this point you're going to get one of your wild cards out of these two teams. I mean, the Steelers, they're amazing. Don't get me wrong this year, but I think they are Josh Scobie in the first game against the Ravens away from a playoff spot. Isn't that awful, though? Anyways, Chris, take us back to the NFC. Let's make some sense of this East with the Bills and the Eagles.
Eagles continuing on their winning ways, beat the Bills 23-20 to keep their playoff hopes alive. For the second time in 3 weeks, Tyrod Taylor couldn't muster a comeback victory in the final 2 minutes to try to pull off the victory, and the Bills fall two games out of the playoff spot with a 6-7 record.
Told you they wouldn't make the playoff.
Tyrod Taylor wasn't great, 19-36 for 268 yards and a touchdown. His INT came in the last possession as he overthrew Robert Woods down the sideline. I don't know why they tried not to hit Sammy Watkins instead, but...
I think that was his first interception in like 223 snaps or something stupid like that.
Yeah, he had like the most attempts without an interception because of Alex Smith last week, I think it was.
Yeah.
Was that like 300 and something when he threw his interception?
Yeah, to get him out, yeah.
It wasn't 300, but I don't know.
It was something insane with Alex Smith. He didn't have one for like... Yeah, I thought it was 300 or something, but...
It could be. I could have that all wrong, but anyways.
All right. Taylor did end with 53 yards and 8 scrambles. LeSean McCoy had 74 yards on 20 carries. And rookie Mike Gillisi had a touchdown run. Robert Woods had 106 yards receiving, and Sammy Watkins had 81 and a touchdown. For the Eagles, Bradford was 23 for 38 for 247 yards, a touchdown and an interception. Darren Sproles had 41 yards on the ground with a touchdown. Tight end Zach Ertz had 98 yards receiving, and rookie wide receiver Nelson Aguilar had 62 and a touchdown. Difference in the game was penalties. The Bills had 15 for 101 to the Eagles 5 for 55.
Damn, I see. Look, with a Rex, go. You can get in just a second, but with a Rex Ryan team, this lack of discipline is something we've seen when he was with the Jets. Weasel.
No, that is a lack of discipline.
And lack of discipline. Very good. Air five. Boom. There you go. Record disappointing. Very. Well, I'm kind of disappointed I didn't do that. Thank you for being there for me. You got a friend in me. Anyway, go ahead, Chris.
All right, so was this the last win for the Eagles? They have the Cardinals, the Skins, and the Giants remaining.
Cardinals, Skins, and Giants. Is this the last win? I'm sure they would say, I sure hope not. I have no reason to believe the Eagles will beat the Cardinals. None. Those other two games, look, man, I mean, I think you'll agree, even as a Giants fan, trying to predict one of those games, bleep you, all right?
Hey, okay, so the easier question, can the Bills get to 500 this year? They're 6-7. They got the Skins, the Cowboys, and the Jets in week 17.
Yeah. They could do it.
I'm going to say yes. I say they beat 500 and make Chris one game short of genius. As they missed that wild card playoff spot. One game short of genius. That sounds like it should be a movie title. Anyways. So yeah. The NFC East. The primordial turd of that conference. That will still have to send a playoff representative. I love this game.
It's pretty bad because the AFC South, they also have their top two teams, the Colts and the Texans, 6-7. So two teams at the top with 6-7 records for the AFC, two NFC East teams, 6-7.
I would argue though, my good friend Stephen Weasel Hurley, I would argue that the AFC South is worse because you do mention eloquently that their two top teams are 6-7. But that 5-8 Jags team is still in the race, very legitimately.
I gotta say, like, you have to give credit to Bortles because last year he looked like, you know, it's like, you know, he's doing all right. Is he worth the, you know, the top five pick type of thing? But this year, I mean, he has something like, what is it, like 30 touchdowns?
31 12. Touchdowns.
Yeah. And to the ratio, though, it's only to like 12 interceptions or so.
Right.
So wow. It's very impressive. And I don't, like, what do y'all see? Okay, you got, let's see, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurts. You got like Julius Thomas, a tight end.
Lee, it's still been injured. So, I mean, he's playing sporadically, but when he's healthy, he's fast, too. So that's another weapon.
And then there. T.J. Yeldon and Denard Robinson in the run game.
It's like how is that supporting cast compared to, like, you know, other teams where you have, you know, like all, like, you know, a lot of big names out there. I think it's just he may be making, you know, those names big.
Well, you also got to look at Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, and Marquise Lee. This is their second year in the league with Bortles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're all rookies last year. And then you got T.J. Yeldon this year. Julius Thomas only has, like, what, 4 years in? 5 years in?
He's not very old either.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at all of their skill positions. It's there. It's their defense. A secondary is what they're going to concentrate on, an offensive line. And what they really need to do is push for offensive line.
They need some meat. They need some beef.
And just think, their first year, or the first round draft pick of this year, has been out. So he comes back next year's defensive end.
The Gators' defensive end.
Yeah. He blew himself up in training camp.
The first day.
Yeah, that stunk.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There's your games for the week. It's time to take it over to the study hall, and I will do that by doing this. Oh, yeah. Why are you laughing, Weasel?
Because we won last week.
Yeah.
Finally.
You got something to say? You got something to say, Weasel?
Falling!
No. The correct answer is, I'm creeping up!
I'm getting there.
By the way, while Weasel may have won this week, I'm still gaining games. I'm creeping up.
Yeah, Weasel was 10-5, Kyle was 9-6, I was 8-7.
With one game to go for this week, too, by the way, but we all picked the Giants, so at the very least, I'll have double-digit wins this week, possibly. I should. Don't screw this up, Giants.
all because of Robbie Gould.
By the way, oh!
that's what it was, Robbie Gould right there.
Because Robbie Gould didn't have enough hate.
Robbie Gould did his best Jason Myers impression.
Oh, Lord. See, now I have to change the music. Anyway,
just think of the two games that Jason Myers lost for Bortles right now. They'd be in first in the AFC South.
That's not even a joke, actually.
It's serious. Two games he lost them.
Wow.
All right, let's do it.
All right, Thursday night, you got the Bucks at the Rams. Yeah, the Rams looked pretty decent last week with Ty Gurley showing up again, but it's the Rams. I'm going to go Bucks.
I'm going to pick the Bucks on the strength of the fact that they will have a more balanced offense. Jameis Winston over whoever the hell they throw in a quarterback this week. I mean, seriously.
Case Keenum.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be Keenum. It probably won't be Foles. Whatever. The point is, I know I'll have Winston. I know I'll have Doug Martin. I know I'll have a Bucks victory. Weasel.
Ditto. Got the Bucks.
All right, we got a Saturday night game. We got the Jets at the Cowboys.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Moving on.
Jets are looking good. Yeah.
You got the Bears at the Vikings. I'm going Vikings. They can't drop this game.
See, if I would get some people, I would stonewall some people, because I usually do some guest spots throughout the week on other shows, like Earnestly Speaking, things like that. I'm going to be trying to catch up with G. Steely on the only podcast that matters, which will still be a true statement, because I would have been on it. Then it would truly be the only podcast that matters. Of course, you guys aren't there either, so then it's really kind of missed. We'll put an asterisk in the quote, because you guys aren't going to be there. But the point is,
it matters at that time.
Ah, I like it. Moving on. So, that all being said, if I ask them which team is more unpredictable, the Giants or the Bears, I might get a pause that lasts at least 10 seconds, which is why I'm stalling so god-awful bad right now. But when it comes down to it, I'm going to pick the Vikings because Weasel's in my line of sight. Moving on.
Yeah, I'm picking the Vikings too.
Homer.
Yeah, well, they got the Giants and Packers last, so they need this game.
I mean, yeah. If Bridgewater had a good game last week. There's just one, unfortunately, time blunder. I'm with that. That's your answer.
All right, next you got the Falcons at the Jags.
Andy,
you got...
No, I'm just kidding.
You got Gus Bradley and his predecessor over at Seattle, Dan Quinn. You know, because once Bradley left, Quinn took over, so... I still think that experience everything with the Jags, how the Jags offense is playing, I got the Jags.
So guys, simply put, you mentioned the thing in the previous game about the teams that have something to play for versus teams that don't. The Falcons suck, okay? I said it. And now the Jags have something to play for to try to dark horse their way in to the playoffs. They have something to play for, and they have a defense, and the Falcons don't. I have the Jags. We don't.
I get the Jags in it with that offense.
Which, by the way, if the Falcons lose this game, 8 of the past 9 games. Those are losses. Just so you know.
Next, you got the Texans at the Colts. This is another one you don't know what you're getting out of this game.
Damn right. I mean, for multiple reasons.
Yeah, TK Yates starting. Last time he started, they looked pretty good.
Yep.
The Texans. I don't know why they didn't go with the hot hand and went back to Hoyer.
I didn't understand that either.
So... I'm going to go with the Texans because of how bad the Colts have looked of late.
I have a similar one, but I'm going to be far more specific. I have the Texans because Charlie Whitehurst. Okay? There's my analysis. Beat that, Weasel. Go.
Ditto. I got you.
Oh, damn. You totally did. Okay, never mind. Ditto. Boom. I win. 2 camels in a tiny car.
Too bad... Too bad they're on opposite teams, but Charlie Whitehurst was at Clemson probably a few years before Hopkins was there. So.
Yeah.
And they're on opposite teams, though, but there's no way you can throw it to them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if Hopkins plays corner... No, anyways.
I was watching the Steelers game, sorry to get off topic, but they're like, talking about the Martavis Bryant, who was with the Clemson,
right,
too.
Right.
And the announcer's like, which receiver in the NFL hasn't gone to Clemson?
The Clemson alumni and athletics boosters all tape that and have it on, like, you know, their speed dial. That's their text indicator on their phones.
All right, next game, you got the Cardinals at the Eagles. I'm going Cardinals because I don't think the Eagles will win another game.
Anybody? Seriously?
Yeah, I got to go Cardinals.
Okay, moving on.
Next, you got the Panthers at the Giants. I got the Panthers.
Wait.
I got the Panthers. I don't want to trust in the Giants.
I'm going to take the Panthers. But this is their... Look, I'm going to take the Panthers, but you guys probably already know what I'm going to do right now, right this moment, because it's what I do in situations
it's
like...
It's a trap!
Yeah.
It's a trap!
Yeah, that one. You know, being said, I did declare a trap. I still have the Panthers.
I got to pick the Panthers, too.
Cam Swag, bitch, just what? Next
right.
up.
Yeah. I'm just going to put us all down for the Patriots because they're playing against the Titans.
Okay, next.
Yeah. we got the Bills at the Skins.
This is not a gimme.
No, it's not. I don't. You know, you don't know what you're getting out of Kirk Cousins either, but I'm going to go Bills.
You don't know what you're getting out of Kirk Cousins. You don't know what you're getting out of Tyrod Taylor in the supporting cast. Against my better judgment, I'm going Skins. Damn it! Yeah, I'll go Skins. Screw it.
I got Cousins in the Skins.
Damn it! I mean, wait. You like that? Anyway.
you got the Chiefs at the Ravens. Chiefs,
yeah,
all the way.
Next, keep going.
Yeah, next, you got the Seahawks at the Browns.
Next,
I got the Seahawks.
Wait, Weasel? Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, you're not going with Johnny?
In there.
Put my money in the money pit, baby. Woo!
Wouldn't that be some stuff there that he'd pull out a win there?
Money pit Manziel beats the Chiefs and kills the 7-win streak. Yeah, I can't even
think. Next, you got the Pack at the Raiders. I'm going Packers. McCarthy's calling the plays now. I get Packers.
You know, that defense has struggled, and I think I think McCarthy will recognize the lack of a run defense comparatively by the Raiders. I think the Raiders will struggle against a balanced offense. I have the Pack. Weasel.
Pack.
All right, next you got the Broncos at the Steelers. I'm going Steelers. This is going to be a good game to watch. Is this going to get flexed?
It better.
It should.
I think it's too late in the season technically for them to flex games. No, because I think they can't do it past 13.
They usually do it 2 weeks ahead of time. So
Based on that, we're too late. So
that'd be nice. I'm going Steelers on this. I just think they're playing too good right now.
Yeah.
Especially the first drive of the game. I don't know what happens in the second half. Just say like coast, but.
What time is that game? Just out of curiosity.
I originally had it at 4:30.
That sucks. But I'm going Steelers on this one. The combination of teams here being that the Steelers have a high-powered offense passing the ball. Deal with that, traditionalists. It's the truth. Seriously, name me a better core of receiving options. On the whole, then Brown, Bryant, Whedon, and
Miller.
Thank you. Miller. How the hell did I could think? I kept thinking Heath Evans. I'm like, Evans isn't the right name. What am I doing? Heath Miller. And then D'Angelo Williams doing what he's doing in the backfield. There's probably a better team out. There's probably a better team in the passing game, and there's probably a better team in the running game. But not one that can boast two that are that good combined. I just can't see it. And that defense is good enough. They're not great, they're good enough. Versus Brock Osweiler and the best defense, arguably, in the league. I still have the Steelers. Weasel, Homer.
It's definitely the Steelers because one thing about the offense is that if Antonio Brown doesn't get a lot of yards, it's like, oh no. Oh, but you then have a guy like Martavis Bryant, who then goes up for like 200 yards. So
Whedon was the one that hit 200 yards, and that he was the number three!
Exactly. Ah! So they're clicking, and Broncos have a great defense, but they can't keep up. So
bingo.
All right, next you got the Fins at the Chargers. It's tough. Yeah, I know. It's like, who cares? I'm going to go Dolphins, though.
It's less who cares and more how this is.
It's a who can screw up more game, kind of.
When you put it like that, I got the Chargers. Weasel. Watch Phillip Rivers let me down again.
I'm gonna
lose two games this week. This sucks.
This game, I'll actually take the Dolphins. They're
great. You got this one now. Next, you got the Bengals at the Niners. I'm going Bengals, even if they have AJ Green.
Still, yeah.
And then Monday night, you have the Lions at the Saints.
Oh my God, this is really tough.
How bad the Lions played the other day, and the Saints actually turned around. They stopped a little bit of the Bucs. I'm going to go Lions though, because I think their offensive weapons will still put up points in the Saints defense.
This kind of thinking made me lose in my survival league at work when the Saints lost to the Titans. However, good God, against my better judgment, I'm going to pick the Saints because at the very least, if they lose, I can make fun of my in-laws. Weasel.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Saints too.
Damn it, I'm going to lose three games this week.
With that attitude.
The Saints? Jeez.
Yeah.
I put you guys both down for the Lions.
Well, that's a you problem.
Yeah, I know. I didn't think you guys were drinking Andy Reid Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah. I got nothing. Anyways, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Student Game. Of course, you can check us out at the website, ngscsports.com. Of course, you check out all the offerings there, our writings, musings, therein. Of course, you can check us out on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio. Lots of options to check us out if you hear us somewhere other than those options. Of course, check out the YouTube page, NGSC Sports YouTube channel. Good times there. Got another sports symposium coming out. You'll probably see that before the end of the year here. And then, Yeah. Weekly matchup mania you'll see drop late Tuesday, early Wednesday morning on NGSCSports.com, where I, the student of the game, give you the public service announcement of which games it's most worth your time to watch in the coming week, and hopefully get a chuckle or two while doing so. But for my panel, personality of the crew, Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
At Weasel the SOTG on Twitter, the local hero, firefighter extraordinaire, Sumter County's finest, Chris Rankin. At Hydraulic Upright, UPRITE on Twitter. Of course, I'm Kyle Nash, the student of the game on Twitter at the SOTG. But until next time, everybody, until week 15, class dismissed.